Good morning, church. Good morning. Are you ready to break open the Word of God today? We'll be in Luke chapter 15. I'm Pastor Jeremy. I am one of the associate pastors here and work with our middle school students and families and love them so much. If you're a middle school student and you're here this morning, we invite you to come join us. Every second service, starting at 11:15 over in 208C, it's right past that exit sign across the street there. 40-50 of us meet together, and we love Jesus together, and we love each other, and we grow in His Word. I'm so glad to be here. Yesterday, I just want to thank our Embrace Grace team, everybody who was involved. If you were involved in any way, even getting the room ready and clean as it was, and getting all the things that were in there from the people who set up the room, and the decorations were amazing. The food was amazing, and all just to love incredible young ladies, brave young ladies, and I just love it so much. I got to come a little bit and hold a sign for a little while just to welcome them, let them know they were here, and as I was there, there was a sign that caught my eye, and this sign said, valuable. Maybe you saw it as you came in through the tunnel this morning. That was the sign. It was there. And we are in the second part of our series called In. And last week, we talked about invite. Today, we're going to talk about invaluable. Next week, influential. And the last week, invested. You are invaluable to God. I believe that this morning, it's going to be maybe easier to conceptualize and intellectualize here, but I'm praying, God, take it from here to here. I can hear I'm invaluable. Yes, I believe that. But do I believe it? You are invaluable to God. You are priceless. You are indispensable. You are irreplaceable in Christ. He needs you. He loves you. He gave His only Son for you. Yes, you, who you are, the way you are right now, fearfully and wonderfully made, uniquely made. You are chosen, called, capable. You are invaluable. And also, not only invaluable to Him, you are invaluable to the church. You are invaluable to the body. You are invaluable to His moving, His kingdom on this earth. You are invaluable to letting others know that they are valuable. And we're going to touch that today. I believe Jesus touched that in Luke chapter 15. This is actually one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. We're going to start in verse 1. Now, some tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that He was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Stop there for a minute. Last week, we talked about we were invited. Pastor Nate did an amazing job and gave us a little background on this, where they would be in a house. And maybe a teacher would be in the house and would be teaching things, and people would come around, and some were invited, some could be in the house, but some would be on the outside looking in the windows. And we had that amazing story of that lady who came through because she just had to see Jesus. She had to encounter Jesus. She had to bless Him and tell Him how much she loved Him. Well, here, again, there's sinners and people from all walks of life coming to hear what Jesus says all the time. And the religious leaders are starting to talk and complain about it. They don't like it. Verse 3. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, look, the lost sheep, my lost sheep, I have found it. Rejoice with me. In the same way, I love that, In the same way, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than 99 others righteous who have not strayed away. I'm trying to visualize this whole scene. And the religious leaders talking and complaining, why are you associating with these people? And Jesus knows their heart, and he knows their questions. He knows what they're talking about. And I'm wondering why they're asking this. Are they asking this because they don't look like us? And they don't talk like us? And they don't dress like us? I don't know. Are they talking about this? Are they complaining about this because we have our religious system? And we have our ceremonial cleanliness that we attain to. And they are not that. And so if we get near them, if we touch them, if we associate them, then we also will be unclean. Or is it just self-righteous? Why are you talking to them? You should be talking to me. I'm here. I'm more important than them. I don't know. Maybe it's all of the above. What I love about Jesus is Jesus doesn't run from sinners. Jesus runs to sinners. Jesus doesn't, he's not afraid of being unclean. He makes the unclean well. And he comes to us, and there's one that's lost. He says, rhetorical question, wouldn't you go after it? Because in my kingdom, in God's kingdom, we go after the one that's lost. We love the one that's lost. And when we find it, I love it because we go after. Is anybody here glad that God sent his only son and came after you? He took initiative. He didn't wait on us. We didn't have to get cleaned up first. He took initiative. He came, and he goes, and we go. And he goes after the one until, I love it, the word until, U-N-T-I-L. I don't know. I'm from Pittsburgh. I don't know. We say things different. Yuns guys know what I'm saying? So, until he finds it. He's relentless. He's not going to stop. And when he finds it, he picks it up. He puts it on his shoulder, and he carries it home. Wow, that's a lot different than me. Jesus, work on me. If I was that shepherd, I'd probably take that staff and say, you dumb sheep, what were you doing out here? Get back there, you dumb. I'd probably beat it all the way back to the pen. Anybody glad that's not the way our King Jesus does it? He wraps us up. He invites us. He comes after us. In his mercy, he carries us all the way home. What if one of your children or your grand were missing? You would go after until you found. And don't stop. Maybe some are here and you're saying, my grand or my child is missing. Don't stop. Keep going after, because there's going to be great rejoicing. You know, if something's lost, I was thinking about this, it doesn't mean that its value is lost. Why we go after the one sheep? Because it's still valuable. There's another story of a lost coin. The lady tears her house apart because the coin's still valuable. You know, the lost sheep might be outside. The coin is inside. There might be somebody here today. You're inside, but you're lost. But you have not lost value. God still values you. God still values me. I've messed up so many times, and I've not lost my value in God. As a child of God, I am adopted. I am valuable. I have a purpose. I've been created for a purpose, with a purpose, to make a difference and to be part of the body. But sometimes our feel counteracts that, doesn't it? Don't always feel that way. I don't always feel valuable. I don't always feel good enough. I don't always feel talented enough. I don't feel important enough. I compare with others. I don't know enough. I don't feel completely worthy. It is a feel, but it's not truth, not from the kingdom of God. That's not how God sees you. You are valuable in the eyes of God, and you are invited. You have incredible value. Value that's so much that, as Pastor Nate shared last week, John 3:16, he sent his only son to the cross, that whoever comes, you're all invited. We're all invited. Whoever comes can know that value. We're invaluable to him. If we believe that lie, that I'm not really that valuable, that I'm kind of insignificant, it can lead to even another big lie. The church has so many people, they don't need me. That's a lie. You are valuable to him, and you're valuable to the body of Christ. You're valuable to the church. You're valuable to his mission. You're valuable to let others know that they are loved by him. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says it this way. The human body has so many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Yes, I'm imperfect. Yes, we are imperfect. But all of our imperfect bodies, all of our imperfect parts, we come together in Jesus' name. We're adopted. We have value. And we make up a huge body together to impact his world. Being left alone is not good. Even the animal kingdom knows being left alone is not good. There's elephants, but a pack, a group of elephants is a herd. A group of lions is a pride. A gathering of monkeys becomes a pace. A birds become a flock. Bees become a swarm. Vultures become a committee. Those and others have a name. But when they come together, there's a new identity. I have a name. When I've said yes to Jesus, if I answered that call from last week that I'm invited and I said yes to Jesus, I have a new name. I'm adopted. I'm a king's kid. I'm a child of God. I am a believer. I am a follower of Christ. I am a Christian. I am a disciple. But together with all of you, with everyone else who has said yes to Jesus, now we have a new name. Now we have a new identity. We are the church of Jesus. We are a gathering of Jesus. We are the body of Jesus. And he needs us. Yes, you're a child of God. You are invaluable to him. And yes, you're a believer and you're invaluable to the body of Christ. He needs you in this. I was thinking about my son Mario. Bless preacher's kids, because all their secrets just get, like, just, you know, for the whole world to hear. I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know if Nate, did you have to do this? Maybe you can give Mario some counseling later and just let him know he's not alone. He's been telling me, Dad, I want to buy a car. I want to buy a car. He's going to be 16 here in July. I want to buy a car. I'm like, you have no money. What you mean is you want me to buy you a car. That's what you mean, but you want to buy a car. No, that's not true. I've been saving up. I have $500. I said, what are you going to buy for $500? Maybe I can learn something from him. I said, Dad, you can buy a car that's beat up. And then you can go and you can get all kinds of parts. Some people think these parts aren't important, but you can get them. You can go to junkyards. You can go all over the place. You can get all kinds. There's great parts out there. And you can get these parts that other people say are not valuable. And you can put them into this one car and you can make a really awesome car. You get the point? We're all valuable. We need every single part. As a matter of fact, could I even say that even spare parts are intended, have an intended purpose? And a bunch of spare parts coming together can make a difference. You are needed. The Apostle Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, going on in verse 14. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. If the foot says, I am not a part because I am not the hand, does it make it any less part of the body? And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not the eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would it hear? And if the whole body were an ear, how would it smell anything? Paul strongly is telling us this illustration between the ear and the eye and how they're so different. By the way, about being so different, I feel bad for the ear. Can I just say that? Because the eye is in everything. It's like I was thinking about songs, like the eye of the tiger, eyes open, eyes closed, in your eyes, brown-eyed girl, open eyes of my heart, Lord. There's no song, open the ears of my heart. Is I don't know, maybe there is. Turn your ears upon Jesus. I don't think so. I have a challenge. I want a song about the ears. No. I want a love song about the ears. Someone write a love song, send it to jeremys@worcesternas.org. I want your love song about the ears. Someone out there, I know one of you know a love song. You're going to send it to me right away. But seriously, the eyes and ears are different, but they're not left to stand alone. They work together. They work in tandem. They function together, and they complement each other. And with each other, they can do so much. Both are so important, and they're both needed. Yes, every part of the body matters. There are no exceptions. You are not an exception in this sense. You're unique and you're needed. He goes on in verse 22, Paul does. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually most necessary. Heard this example this week. If you look at your hand, I have a hard time believing this anyway. You're a fact checker. Well, from what I heard, the pinky finger takes up 50%, supplies 50% of the strength and the ability and the function of your hand.
That's true.
That's true. There you go. See? There he is. Your presence, your role, your voice, your input, your contribution, all of these matter. Sometimes it might not be highly seen. It might be the pinky finger. It might not be out in front, but it matters. And you make a difference. Yesterday, I don't know who set that whole room up. I don't know who decorated the whole room. I don't think we saw them before or after. But everyone who came was blessed because someone spent their time and energy to bless and make that room amazing. You know, we come to church in the middle of winter and we can pull on these parking lots. Someone was out there moving the snow away and putting the salt down and making it possible. But every part matters. We need you. I say that because, yes, we're invaluable to God. And we're invaluable to the body of Christ all over the world. But if you call Worcester Nazarene your home, you're invaluable right here. We need you. We need your voice. We need your story. 1 Corinthians 12, again, he goes on, verse 27, 28. All of you together are Christ's body. That's all of us. And each of you is a part of it. Have you ever slept like wrong and like woke up and you had that kink in your neck and you couldn't even like move? Am I alone? Has anybody else ever had that? How about, have you ever slept on your arm and it like fell asleep and you're like, come on, what's going on here? Wake up. It does that tingling thing, so now I think my wife's touching me. It's like, stop it. She's not, you know? And it's dormant. It's not awake. It's not useful at that moment. And I need to kind of wake it up, and I need to say, hey, come on, I need you. If you're part of the body of Christ and you're not using your gifts for his glory, you've gone to sleep, and you're a part of the body that's not functioning. It's not life-giving. You may not be living out your calling. Wake up. We need you. You have something unique to offer. You're asleep. Get involved. Other parts of the body have to work harder to make up the difference. Something that you have is needed, and God wants and it's not too late. And I realize, and I praise God, that I'm preaching a little bit to the choir. Because that statistic that I hear about 10, 20% of the people doing 80, 90% of the work, I don't feel that's true at Worcester Nazarene. I thank you. I thank you. There's so many. You're involved. You're getting involved. You have caught the vision. You know that I want to love God and I want to love people, and that's all part of it. And so, God, I'm valuable to you, but my value to you is as good as I can be valuable to everybody else, and let everybody else know that they're valuable. Thank you so much. It's not too late. It's not, you're not disqualified. Your story is important. What God has had you through, it's only preparing you to be used more and more. You have a testimony. You have a life-changing impact on others. Why? Why is this so important? Because there are other lost sheep and lost coins that are inside and outside that don't know they're valuable. And God wants to use valuable people to just say, I'm yours, Lord, to go and to love and to be there, and so that they can know that they're valuable and that they can know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they can accept that invitation and say, why to J? Yes, to Jesus. Let's do our part, church. I know you are. Will you continue? Continue? Together. We can do this together. I'm looking at the Outlinks box here. I can give $1 a week. $1 a week is $52 a year. But together, if we all gave $1 a week, what we could do for others in our, and what, I shouldn't say what we could, what we are doing for others in our community, thank you. I see when I'm greeting people, little kids and their families going up and just giving I love it. No gift is insignificant. It all makes a difference and it adds up. And the elderly and widows can have their needs met. And the rejected and lonely can feel God's love through people. And the orphans can have the comfort of a loving family. And frightened girls and unplanned pregnancies can be supported. And people trapped in addictions can find freedom and healing. And every lost person can see and hear that they are valuable to Jesus. I love Romans 10, winding up here. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him unless they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. That's you and I. Not because we're so great, but because he's so great. And he invited us, and we accepted that invitation. And as we accepted that invitation, then he invited us to go on a journey with him, to walk with him, to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his heart, to people. So I got a couple questions as we end up here. Have you heard God's heart today? Have you heard? Do you know? Have you embraced? Have you come into agreement with how valuable you are to him? I pray, Holy Spirit, even right now over this place, that you would let each one know individually, specifically, how valuable we are to you. In my heart, Lord, again, light that fire. Just re-push that flame wide open. Let me know how important and how valuable I am to you. Last week, we had an invitation. You're invited, that Pastor Nate gave. Have you said yes to Jesus yet? If not, why? What's holding you back? Today could be the day. You're so valuable to him. He's relentlessly pursuing you. He's not going to leave until he finds you. He's not condemning you. He's not hitting you with the staff or the stick. He loves you so much. He's picking you up in his arms. Will you accept that invitation? Would you just say today, God, I surrender. Maybe today as we sing, maybe you want to come to the altar and just say, Lord, I surrender all. I wanted to accept that invitation last week. I don't know what held me back, but I'm not being held back anymore. Jesus, I'm saying yes to you. I'm not living my life only for me anymore. You know, next week, we're going to celebrate this. Next week is Baptism Sunday, right? Is that right? Is that Baptism Sunday is next week. And there's so many already signed up who have said yes to Jesus and said, I want to come. And I want to just say, Jesus, I'm all yours. Dunk me. Maybe you're feeling that. Maybe you're feeling like, man, I never knew, like I knew I was valuable, but like, God, I'm valuable. Like the cross, I'm valuable to you. And I give you, I want to accept that invitation that whosoever believes, I believe. And maybe you want to get baptized next week too. So as we stand and sing, I'm going to invite you, if you want to come and just surrender all. And church, a question for you. Are you involved? Are you using your gifts and your talents? I'm just asking. God's given you something. You are unique. And we need you. He needs you. He's calling on you. Your story matters. Your voice matters. Your words matter. Your gifts matter. Your prayers matter. Your generosity matters. Your encouragement matters. Your faithful return makes a difference. Your prayers and prayer of faith move the heart of God. Your invitations you're extending could be life-giving. Don't stop. Continue greeting and caring and asking and listening and understanding and pray-nowing. Is that a thing? Pray-nowing. And open your home-ing and sharing meals and do it all because all those you're touching, they're going to come to know I'm valuable to Jesus. Would you stand with me? Thank you so much. As we pray, maybe you want to come and just say, Lord, am I all in? Is there something you're calling me to I've not quite answered? Can I say this? He's given you the green light. You have the green light. Go for it. Don't wait. Don't make excuses about you're not ready because I'm not ready. We're never going to be all the way ready. But as ready as you are, you have the green light. Jesus, I'm all in. Jesus, thank you for being here with us today. I pray, God, that some would come and say, I'm accepting that invitation, Lord. I am saying yes to you. I don't want to just live for me anymore. I've come into an encounter to know how valuable I am to you today. I give you my sin. I want to be adopted by you and live for you. And Lord, for all of us, can you continue to challenge us to give and to be part of your body of Christ? To share our story. To share our what you're doing in our life, to share our love, to be your hands, to be your feet, to be your heart of love to somebody. God, I pray that each one would be able to find their unique place in the kingdom and even in this church. I thank you for them, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Would you worship and respond as God calls you?